Tracy Ryan. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Now, last night, this was so exciting, Wendy. I don't know if you're aware of what went on last night in Evanston. At Welsh Ryan Arena, listen to this. This is the kind of thing that you hear about and you go, that's impossible. But this is what went on at Welsh Ryan Arena. Warren Beatty announces that Michigan is the winner of the big basketball game between Northwestern and Michigan. And then at the last minute, they realize he got the wrong envelope. Northwestern won the game.
They came out and they said, this is not a joke.
This actually
happened.
And Denzel Washington was shocked, and The Rock was shocked, and Nicole Kidman was shocked. Dave, I know when you go into the profession of sportscasting, when you're going to call games, you dream about a finish like this. And I'm sure in your career you've had others, but last night was as exciting a finish as you could ever imagine.
I've had some that have gone the other way, have gone against Northwestern over the years. I've seen some shots at the buzzer that have gone in. I've seen them win games on shots with, I don't know, 2 or 3 seconds to go, and then there's a timeout, so there's a little bit of a lull.
Yeah.
I've never seen one where they threw the ball 94 feet from one end of the floor to the other, and a guy lays it in at the buzzer.
Beautiful.
I mean, it. There was only one place they could really throw the ball.
Yeah.
And it's a play that, and Joey Meyer said afterwards, he said, you could try that 10 times and maybe hit it once.
Yeah.
But probably not. And even if you do, are you going to get the shot off in time? I mean, so much had to go right.
Everything went right. So that was, they called for that play, right?
Yes.
That just didn't happen. They said, let's try, even though it's a long shot, let's try it and see, and boy, did it work.
Well, it was interesting that Chris Collins told us on the postgame show that one of the assistant coaches said, we want to get to overtime now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just want to get the ball inbound safely and let's get to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them a chance to win it with 1.7 seconds to go. And Chris said, no, we're going for it. We got to go and try to win the game. And that's what they did.
Wow. I love the morning after voice.
Well, there isn't much.
It's very sexy.
Aside from calling the game, you then screamed and shouted and screamed and shouted because how could you hold back?
Well, you couldn't hear part of it. I mean, it was so loud in there, and it's been loud, and it was just a sense. And obviously, there were some Michigan fans there, but even they, I think, appreciated what was just a great college basketball game.
Yeah.
But just the unbridled joy that you saw on the faces of the players, the students, and these players, and you have to keep it in perspective. These kids on Saturday night had a 7-point lead at Indiana with 1:30 to go and lost on a 3-point play with 2 seconds left. Then had a half-court shot that hit off the rim that would have won it for.
Mm-hmm.
And so they walked out of there, got on the plane. We flew home Saturday night. They were devastated.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know, there are a lot of people doubting them and thinking things are slipping away from them now. And this elusive NCAA tournament bid, they're so close, but it's just not quite there. And then to see them play the way they played last night, the way both teams played, but to see them get the success at the end.
Yeah,
you couldn't help but be happy for them.
So just for people who don't know, you called it elusive, and it has been beyond elusive. Northwestern has never been in the NCAA tournament even once.
And it really hasn't been all that close on Selection Sunday when they're handing out the bids. I mean, there was one year they thought kind of maybe, possibly, if things go right. Because a lot can happen in these conference tournaments, but it hasn't happened. And now, barring something really crazy, I can't imagine what that would be, they got to be in.
When the moment happens, and you did this beautifully yesterday, I mean, your job is, of course, to call the game, but then what happened was so out of the ordinary, and all you could do is just be honest and paint the picture of what's happening, and you did you always do, but boy, last night was amazing.
Well, it was an amazing play,
and
the thing is, you want to kind of keep track of where the ball is because it gets up in the air, and there's lights, and everybody's on their feet and yelling, and So I walked into a restaurant afterwards, and somebody said, "Here, can you recreate what you said?" I said, "I don't have a clue what I said. I don't know what I said. I didn't hear it till I got home last night. So I had no idea what I had said."
But you know how kids growing up, you fantasize about it being two outs in the World Series and the bases loaded, and you dream about taking that swing. When you do what you do for a living, last night's the reason you do it. You want those moments, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the kind of thing you think about. And I've listened back to him and said, "Boy, I wish I'd said this. Wish I'd said this."
What do you wish you had said? What didn't you say that you wanted to say?
Well, I wanted to say, "Well, I think this is going to work. This play, I believe that Nate's going to throw it to Derek at the other end, and Derek is going to just turn and lay it in, and the Wildcats are going to win." I wish I'd said that.
Yeah,
I stumbled a little bit on part of it. I mean, it's never perfect, but
it's real life.
I got the point. You know, they're not, as Pat Hughes always told me, and as always said, they're live broadcasts.
Yes.
You don't get a chance to rehearse them.
Yep, so
you know,
true.
And so.
Pat Hughes once said to me, "Use the word trousers a lot." So I'm trying to use the word trousers more often. All right, so it's Bill and Wendy. Dave is sticking around for just a little bit. Some very interesting news about one of our favorite White Sox players.
Very weird.
Very strange.
Strange.
Let's take a quick break.
His appetite?
His appetite. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Dave Ennett is sitting in with us. Bill and Wendy, there's a lot going on in the world of sports right now. Number one is the strange appetites of one Jose Abreu of the Chicago White Sox. What was he eating on a plane, Dave?
A part of a passport.
Part of his passport.
Did they run out of peanuts?
Yes. Explain from the beginning.
This is so weird.
Why was Jose Abreu eating his passport on the airplane?
Well, he was testifying in this trial. These two men are on trial in Miami, accused of illegally smuggling Cuban ball players into the United States so they could make money on these players signing contracts.
Yeah.
And so Jose testified yesterday that he had eaten part of a passport because it's really a strange thing. But he's on the plane, and he said he could not go into the United States with a falsified passport.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking.
And he said he ate a chunk of a fake passport to cover up his illegal travel. He said he ordered a beer on a flight from Haiti to Miami, and he ate the page from the passport, which had a false name and his picture.
Yeah.
He was worried. He said he had to get here to the United States so he could sign this big contract with the White Sox.
Yeah.
So that's what he did.
And he passed through customs to get on the plane, and then technically, what do you need the passport for? Fiber?
Yes, for fiber. Now, would the passport pass through customs easier or through Jose Abreu? Which do you think?
With no real experience in that area, I couldn't tell you. He said he ordered a Heineken to wash it down.
Sure. That makes sense.
He used the beer to help him swallow the first page of his passport little by little after takeoff.
And, you know, it's a bizarre story, but it does sort of show the great lengths and difficulties that these Cuban players had to get here.
Yeah.
And that wasn't probably not the worst part of his travels. I mean, you're on these boats. There's it's dangerous.
Yeah.
You're putting your life at stake. And it was not an easy ordeal for him to go through. And you know, thankfully, he made it in one piece and was able to get through it.
Because our relationship with Cuba has changed over the last year, is it still difficult for players, Cuban-born players, to play in the United States, or is that not an issue anymore?
I think it's less difficult now, but I think it's still, everything's kind of evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out.
Now he's playing. He's back.
He's playing. Yeah, he testified again this morning in Miami, and now he's on his way back to Arizona. He's not charged with anything.
Although he is here illegally, if you're looking at it, but since he's cooperating with the case that they're trying to get these dudes who smuggled him, it appears that they're giving him...
Well, he's not here illegally.
Well, if he came on a false passport...
But that's been cleared up, right, Dave? I think he is now here. He's considered to be legal.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay,
so, yeah.
So
yes.
That this was a while ago that he did this.
He is not at risk
right.
of being deported or anything.
Yeah.
But the two men on trial who were benefiting from these players
are. Yeah, that's
a
shame.
Dave, last year we learned that a member of the White Sox, actually at the time a former member, Adam LaRoche, was not only playing for the White Sox, but he was a spy on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed, I was going to say hard to swallow, but in light of what we know about
different choice words.
Abreu, let's not. So what's going on with the White Sox that the guys on the team seem to be involved sometimes in extracurricular?
Well, I don't know. I think espionage is much more widespread Major League Baseball than we know. I think every team has some players. I haven't seen the breakdown or the percentages.
So most teams will carry one spy or two spies coming out of spring training.
Well, you usually carry two catchers,
yeah.
11 pitchers maybe early in the year, and two spies.
And a couple spies.
Yes.
I spy with my little eye.
It is weird, but I think it's, in this case, it's just, then the whole thing happened with his kid and spring training. But it does seem like there's some strange story every year in spring training
for the
White Sox.
Doesn't it? It does. And then really quickly, one last thing. Bears fans in town have been hoping crazily that Jimmy Garoppolo would be coming to the Bears. But
it
doesn't look like it's going to happen, does it?
Well, I was kind of wondering all along why, as good as Tom Brady still is and potentially wants to play for several more years. He was suspended this year, but he has been heard. You need a backup, and look, the Bears know that better than any team.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was never convinced. Now he wanted to come to the Bears apparently.
He's
if he was going to go anywhere. He's from Arlington Heights, and so it made sense if he was going to go, and if they were willing to trade him, this made sense. But I never really believe they were just going to say, oh, yeah, sure. He's not going to play here because Brady's going to go on forever. So here, take him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just didn't make a lot of sense. Now, things change and they could have a change of heart and still trade him. But
well, the other day they were talking about how Cleveland wants to trade them a 12th round draft. It would be a first round, but they get the 12th pick. Mm-hmm. And New England was looking at that going, oh, that's not bad. And I'm saying to myself, wouldn't you rather get the third pick in the draft than the 12th? But then New England kind of rescinded and said, well, we really don't think we want to move on.
Or maybe they're bargaining. Maybe they're looking for leverage.
Yeah,
so that does happen, too.
Could be.
Perhaps, though, that it got out so much. I believe Adam Hoge started that whole rumor. And now I feel like, they got wind of it and said, we're not letting them go.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Adam.
I know.
Others.
Been a crescendo.
Yes.
Right. There has. Dave, an exciting night for you last
Congrats.
Night for all of us as Northwestern came out of nowhere at the last second for that buzzer beater. Very exciting call. So thanks for sticking around.
Thank you.
Really
it's going to be a fun
it.
Couple weeks.
Yep, it will be. That's Dave Ennett. We're Bill and Wendy. More show ahead. Stick around. It's WGN.